you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Dan Z and Corey Club, the podcast you're looking for. This is... yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
At last! Where have you been?
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
Corey, it's time again for one of my very favorite parts about Coffee with Kenobi. It is our Patreon chat. We have our Patreon winner here, Jason Hall, who's been very gracious to us. All-around great guy, family man, Star Wars fan. And as you know, on this show, the winner gets to pick the topic. They run the show. They're the ones who, you know, bring out the coffee, the sugar, the cream, all that good stuff. And then we just roll with it, don't we?
That's right. And, you know, it's folks like Jason Hall who are you know, big enough to step forward and help us out financially through Patreon, and really appreciate that. So folks who are looking to want to put forth some monetary effort to help us out and boost the show a little bit. We appreciate all the folks who do that each and every month. And then again, you know, Jason got his name picked out of a hat, and boom, here he is hosting a show just for us, and we couldn't be more excited.
So yeah, without further ado, here is Mr. Jason Hall.
Hi guys. Thanks to Dan and Corey for having me on.
Of course. Well, thank you for being a part. And like Corey said, we're really grateful for everything you do for us and for the show. And we know you're a big podcasting fan, and you've got a great show outlined for us. So take it away, sir.
Yes, I was wanting to discuss how the new anthologies and or new canon changed the way people kind of watch and or feel about the original trilogy. Just maybe discuss that with you guys a little bit.
Sure. Corey, what do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting because I kind of come from that middle ground of, I didn't grow up in the 70s and I didn't see Star Wars in the theater. So it's hard for me to pull that original feeling back in. But when I think about Star Wars, I think about, you know, that old canon stuff, you know, and resonates with me, I guess, as a fan. And like you said, Jason, you know, all this new stuff coming in, kind of the switch over a few years back, well, more than a few, I guess, since Disney bought out Lucasfilm, you know, they kind of came with a new canon. And you know, it's interesting, I think, because there's such a rich galaxy out there for Star Wars. And, you know, just when I think everything's kind of been done or stories already been told, the new canon we've been given has really opened new doors, I think, for me as a fan throughout the years. And it really hasn't really bothered me, I guess, a lot. I guess comparing it to the original trilogy, it's almost heightened it for me. I mean, I think I got a lot of that out of Rogue One. It showed that it could kind of take that off-kilter road a little bit and be able to tell a Star Wars story and the film medium. But also, you know, we see a lot of that in the books and the merchandising and things like that, the comics and stuff. I was really hyped all that and really bring a lot of, you know, growth and value to a lot of the characters we love.
So when you guys both say new canon, are you both referring to when Lucasfilm came out and said, hey, we've got a new vision for the company. We have what we call a story group now. The comics and the books are all part of the canonical Star Wars universe. Is that what you both mean by new canon?
Yeah, I was a Legends guy prior.
Oh, okay.
And read a lot of the books, and that kept it kind of Star Wars going. One of your guys' old podcasts, you talked about there was a dry spell for Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
That some people don't even know about, you know, or never will. And it's like I read a lot of books, whether they were canon or not. I mean, that that term gets thrown around, but right now I think we're in a good time where everything has continuity.
Right.
And you can say that, well, at the beginning of episode 4, we just saw Vader, this presence, come onto the ship. Well, now when me and my daughter watch it, she's like, oh, this is the part right after Vader was attacking that ship and chasing Leia. And I'm like, man, you're right. You know, there's a new story there for people to know about. And Tarkin being in Rogue One, as Corey was alluding to, Rogue One has a lot of things in it that kind of gives some more meat to the story of these characters that I just kind of had to guess what was going on prior to it.
Well, and so then it's cool that you brought this topic up because you are a big fan of the Legends line. So for you, how did you feel when you heard this announcement? I remember the announcement because I actually was sick. I had pneumonia, of all things, which I'd never had before or since. And I was laying in bed and I was, you know, exhausted. And so I was reading or trying to, when I was in between snoozing away. And I saw the announcement on Twitter and I watched the video that had Timothy Zahn and John Jackson Miller. And they said A New Dawn was going to be the first canonical Star Wars novel. And I was pumped. I was thrilled, actually, because I as much as I liked the Legends line, I knew that there was more. I felt like there was going to be more. And so it didn't hit me the way that other people did who were completely loyal, like Randy and Luke from Legends Library. Of course, they love the Legends line. But how about you? Were you happy? Were you sad? Where were you?
I was like, yeah, I was excited. I mean, I still have some of those Legends books and I go back to them. So some of the stories are good to me. But I mean, I like the idea, like you said, the story group. I love that idea that it trickles down from a single unit that knows what's going on. I mean, the Legends, they had great stories and everything, and whether it was real or not, I mean, those authors made great books, I thought. So, but I was excited for it, a new slate and all that. I mean, can't be too bad, and it hasn't been bad, I don't think.
It's been great, and I loved it. There was plenty of, to me, like, when a new Legends book would come out, it was appointment reading, unless there was a topic. Like, I didn't get super into the stuff with the twins of Han and Leia and all of that stuff, and that Jedi Order, and then that ginormous series towards the end before they kind of rewrap things. So it was kind of hit or miss for me. What about you, Corey?
Yeah, I didn't read a whole lot of canon books.
We all liked Plagueis. I think that's fair to say.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the other thing too. It's a lot of those stories, like you said, Jason, are kind of beholden to me, and it really kind of tells me what kind of fandom I had back then. And it was interesting because that's what, like you said, that's all I kind of had to go on and built my fandom on those things, along with the films themselves and the toys and such. So I already had this, you know, these storylines in my own head, just playing and being a kid and of course reading the books. You know, having that switch, it didn't hurt me too bad, because I think they're really, like they said, they mine a lot of that stuff that already exists. We've seen that happen a lot with Thrawn, most recently in Rebels, and a lot of the things from Rogue One, a lot of things from, you know, a lot of the new stuff that's coming out, they're kind of peppering in a lot of the characters we kind of see and the places we kind of enjoy reading about. So I think it's something I think will always stay with me as a fan. I see it. There's a dividing line, I guess, if you want to talk about a dividing line, there is for me as a fan. But I think I like that. I like that clean slate. It's not starting over. It's just starting a new era for Star Wars.
I want to talk about growing up with Star Wars all over again, like through our children, and how they absorb all this amazing galaxy or universe.
That, to me, that's why Star Wars Lucas is such a genius, because I got to watch the Clone Wars the last couple seasons with my older boys, who are in their teens now. And as much as I loved watching it with them through their eyes and the questions and they would have and the conversations we would have and just the excitement of getting around the TV and watching Clone Wars with them, it just made it amazing. I remember one time we were out looking, we went to a bunch of different stores, Walmart and Target, to find Star Wars toothbrushes because that was when they first had come out. And that was just so fun for me because I spent so much of my college and high school and in younger years going out hunting for these things. And to have it with the boys and to see them kind of get that excitement about that, you know, that kind of adrenaline you get when you're as a collector, when you go to find things and you hope you get to that aisle before someone else does and grab something off the pegs. And to me, it just makes it so much better. And then with our little one, he likes Star Wars. He likes Rescue Bots. He likes all the fun, you know, little kid stuff. And the way he reacts or even just the way he pronounces words. Last night, we were getting ready for bed and I was reading to him. And before he like fell asleep, he goes, "Daddy, can you get Kanan?" Because we have this giant Kanan figure. It's probably about 18 inches tall on top of his bookshelf. So we
taller,
got it.
Taller than him, huh?
Yeah. No. He's taller. He's tall for his age. He laid it and he was like hugging it while we were reading. And I thought, oh, that's so cute. So it means a lot to me. What about you guys?
Like you're saying, they get excited about it. Or whenever she wants to watch Episode 7, that's her Star Wars movie, and that's when she likes watching. And just the way they get excited about things, and she's real big into, you know, the Lego sets, and we're into the Nerf guns and stuff like that.
So do you guys like have like times where you just run around and have a little Nerf adventures together as father and daughter?
Oh yeah, it gets pretty good, and when we make up stories, and they're always based off of, I'll use John Williams soundtracks on a Bluetooth speaker, and we'll have music and everything. And every story we start, we always end up in a cantina looking for somebody.
That's awesome.
And, oh yeah, and we got the music playing and everything. It's great.
See, that's fun too. It's having my own kids, and early on too, when they were younger, just exposing them to things I was interested in. And I always thought, like, you know, I'm not going to push anything on them. You know, I'm not going to let this drive their fandom. If they want to be interested in, they are. If they're not, then okay, you know, it's no big deal. But it's one of those things, like, you know, here's some of my old stuff, or here's some things that I've got. You can just have it. That's kind of how I played it. Like, you know, here's something you can just have to play with, or, you know, here's a movie I like to watch. You want to just want to watch it with me, type of thing, you know. Or I'll be talking about it, and they're, hey, what are you talking about? You know, but I think the biggest thing, like I said, Jason, is the imagination that drives and continues to drive, and young kids, and just helps them explore, you know, the heroes, the villains, the storylines, create, and just, you know, have fun and enjoy that. And I think that creates such a big enjoyment out of their childhood. And that's what we all did as kids. We, you know, imagine things and grow, you know, all kinds of, you know, new things out of that. And that's what grew into our fandom that we have nowadays. Now we're all, you know, dads sitting around and laughing, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, your son will come with you, or your daughter will come with you with a lightsaber, and, you know, it's on, you know, it's a matter of just, you know, you don't hesitate, and it's so much fun, and there's a smile on their face, and, you know, it's something that you really can't describe as far as, you know, being a Star Wars fan, but also, you know, having a family and raising children. It's an experience, I think, that will constantly be growing in Star Wars. And, you know, as the films come out, and like you mentioned, you know, Rogue One, and you know, here we come with the next Star Wars film coming out, Episode 8. It's just going to grow bigger and bigger. And soon, you know, we'll have generations of you know, grandpas and grandmas, you know, getting it on the fun too. So that's what I look forward to.
And plus, like, we have great moments, like for you, and I'm sure Jason has experiences too, where it's the middle of the night and you're walking in your house to get something and it's dark and you step on one of your kids' Star Wars Legos and your bare feet.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a rite of passage right there.
It's true.
It seems like at nighttime those turn into adamantium and they're extremely, extremely hard. I don't know what happens, but
they move. Of course, true. Whoever knows, they every time the lights go off, all the toys move in your path, and you know, it's like a lot.
There's no give in a Lego; they pierce the skin.
That's correct.
That's right.
It's adamantine is a very good description for sure. So you had a number of questions that you wrote that I thought would be fun for all three of us to answer.
Okay.
These were good.
Okay. Well, dream job at Lucas with, you know, no background, no anything, just something, dream job at Lucasfilm.
What about you, Jason? What would you say?
I love the concept art side. I always buy the concept art books. I love the hatching of these ideas and those artists. Just some of the stuff they come up with that doesn't make it to film or anything like that. Some of those drawings or their ideas are just they're awesome. I love them. That would be my dream job.
Are you an artist?
No. I mean, besides me and my daughter drawing, no.
If you are a huge Star Wars fan, and let's face it, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. And if you love collecting Star Wars, the Star Wars Card Trader app from Topps is for you.
The best part, the Star Wars Card Trader app features incredible images from the original trilogy, the prequels, the Clone Wars, Rebels, and the Force Awakens. Every era you love is included on the app.
It's easy and a lot of fun too. Beloved characters, key scenes, and unforgettable moments are in every pack. Open the app every day and get free credits to spend on card packs from the cantina, trade with your friends, and make new ones along the way as you continue to add to your Star Wars collection. And it's all free.
The variety makes it fun too. So chase what you love. Some of the latest packs include poster series, classic comic book series, helmet variety packs, and so much more. There are even exclusive cards you can get by completing sets, as well as special inserts and even autograph opportunities. Don't worry about missing the cards you love either, as you sign up for notifications right on the app.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
What about you, Corey?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a difficult question, I think, because it's almost kind of your mind would kind of have to explode a little bit and kind of come down and think, oh, man, I'm actually working for the entertainment business and working for a franchise I just love. And I think it comes down to maybe the concept art, but I'm an artist too. And I like design and I get so much enjoyment out of seeing how an actor will take a line or something. And I maybe get into the writing of some of the stuff. And maybe it's the essence of writing some of the scripts, working in the story group. I think I'd probably work in story group. I like to imagine things and see how, what if we're down this road and bringing in other things for characters, obviously, that we love and seeing where they go and seeing how that fits into the giant galaxy itself. I also think that, like you said, the artists and the writers and such, and they're drawing a lot of things that don't make it the screen or don't necessarily make it into production. But, they're just what we talked about earlier. Just having those fandoms from young and saying, hey, what will this new villain look like? Oh, I have no idea. I'm just going to start sketching something out. And, he's really mean, or he's got a, face mask, or he's, he walks this way or something like that, and they can create something that's just so unique and different. And like you said, maybe it doesn't make it to the, screen, but essentially shows an idea that is, just purely out of love for this franchise. So I think I'd work in some kind of creative department or something and test my skills there.
So you managed to say that at Lucasfilm you want to work at a creative department. So basically you want every job in the company? Is that?
maybe not. Taking out the trash. I guess I would do that too. But
that is. Let's just pretend like you have to pick one.
Have to pick one
you
job.
Have to pick one. Otherwise we can't hire you.
Oh boy.
Narrow it down.
That's tough. I'm a kid. They can't hire you. I think I'd go with a writer. When the writer's room.
That'd be good.
Sitting with the store group on that panel there.
So like a writer just of scripts for books, for the series, for films, or like a writer for the story group, which that doesn't really exist.
You're just really nailing it hard, aren't you?
I am. Well, these are the hard-hitting questions that you need to answer. This is what the people want to know. Jason is our medium to channel everything. He knows what's up.
I'm still waiting for you to nail it down.
Oh boy. all right, I'm gonna say I'd be a fictional writer. I think give me have the story group give me an assignment to hey, we got a new Boba Fett book we're going to launch, and here's kind of some of the pieces we want to go with. You know, take it away, and let's write a Han or a Boba Fett, you know, story or whatever the case may be. But I'd definitely be on assignment to write a novel or something for Lucasfilm. There you go.
There you go. That's cool. I think that suits you well. Although you and Jason working in the trenches, creating and designing would be pretty cool too.
Be fun. A lot of fun.
All right. So, what do you think, Dan?
I think I don't even think about story group all the way. In fact, I just think about how, I mean, I already know some of the guys in there pretty well, and I can just imagine the conversations they have and how in depth they go to characters and the debates, and just to be a part of that and just to have my a notepad or a laptop and just be typing and talking and talking with them. I think that would be great. Now, I would run into the very beautiful dilemma of loathing spoilers and realizing I would find out stuff years before they came out.
That's right. That's right.
But I guess for me, I mean, that would be my time to be surprised for the first time in that environment. And since I love anticipation more than just about anything, including the moment and the memory, I think then I could just relive it once everybody else relived it too. And if I was on the story group, then I would also be able to know something that Corey didn't know forever, and I could always text him and run it.
That's right. That's true for me, yeah. One up me all the time.
That's right. That's kind of our running thing.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's interesting too. You know, you talk about working for Lucasfilm and getting to know the spoilers and stuff, but what do you guys think? You would have a lot of pressure? You know, obviously you're running a big franchise, and hey, you've got an assignment to do this piece of work, or you know, you have to do something that, you know, a lot of fans are gonna have a lot of opinions on. I think there'd be a lot of pressure.
What do you think, Jason? I know what I think, but I want to know what Jason thinks.
If I had done something like that, I'd understand Corey's dilemma on picking, because after you guys said, I was like, man, I would do any one of those too, but being on anything, I'd have to live Obi-Wan style in a hut way out in the middle of nowhere, because I told 30 people about this podcast. I was like, I don't know if I could not tell anybody.
That's so cool. To me, it's like I wouldn't feel pressure, because pressure is for people who are unprepared. And if I was fortunate enough to get to that point, they must have seen something in me to believe that I could do it. And because the story group is not just one or two people, it's a collaboration of a lot of incredibly intelligent, insightful people who love their Star Wars like no other. If there was something that was bad, it's not like it's pinned down to one person. And, you know, everybody can get a chance to sort of weed through and pick the best. And so far, there really haven't been any missteps. Besides that weird slug thing in Rogue One that tries to mind wipe Bodhi Rook. Other than that, everything's been a home run. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. I think it would just be a labor of love.
All right. You guys ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, how did Dan, you and Corey get started and run with the idea of getting a podcast? This may be the 100th time you've heard this, but.
No, it's fun. I like answering it because it just, if not for this happening, you know, I wouldn't have gotten to meet you or Craig Dickinson or Aaron Harris, or, you know, so many other wonderful people that we've gotten to know because of the show. And I'm a teacher, and I had a long commute before I was married. And I like to listen to podcasts. I love the Tony Kornheiser show, and I love the IndieCast. And like you, Jason, when I found out there was a Star Wars podcast, at that time it was the original Force Cast, I thought, whoa, these guys talk about Star Wars every week, and I can listen to them whenever I want to. And it's like, it's always fresh. I was just so excited about that. And I listened for years, and I was really lucky. I got to be on the IndieCast one time because Ed was gracious enough to give me the title of IndieCast fan club president. And so he interviewed me and we talked for like an hour. And as soon as he called and talked to me and I saw his name light up on Skype, it was, "Hey Dan." And I thought, oh my gosh, this is happening. I'm talking to this guy that I've been hearing on my car stereo for years. And now he's talking to me like he's my friend. And I just thought, this is magic. This is something really cool. I want to be a part of this. I want to give people this feeling that I'm feeling right now. But what would I do? What would I talk about? How do you even do a podcast? Where do you even start? So I started kind of casually researching it. And sort of during that process, my future wife, who is of course my wife now, Deanna said, "Hey, I have a nephew. His name's Corey. And I was at their house the other day, and he has his office, and it's got Superman stuff in it. And I thought, that is so cool. I got to meet this guy, and I also got to get an office with Superman stuff. So eventually he and I met, and we hit it off right away, and we just started talking about Star Wars and sports and superheroes and comics, and I think mostly comics the first time. And yeah, it was just great. And then it just kept hitting me, and I just couldn't get away with it. And then Corey said, "Hey, let's go get some lunch or something." And I thought, I'm going to ask him if he wants to do a podcast. If he and I are talking and we're having a good time. Because I think, was that the day that we went and saw Captain America and Cowboys and Aliens, or was that
I think that was before we actually started recording.
Yeah, it was.
So we were still ramping up the friendship, kind of see where we kind of hit, you know, our lives kind of settled that.
Yeah.
And you know, like you said, Dan, it's one of those things that it's hard to say, like, oh, what sparked the idea? Obviously, you had a lot of podcasts and, you know, in your repertoire, and were kind of combing through them and seeing what was the best layout, and kind of you had that mindset in your head. You said, hey, you kind of presented the idea to me, and I was like, oh, yeah, sure, I'm down with that, you know, and thinking like, oh, I'll just be like hanging out, talking about Star Wars.
And you agreed right away. We were in the parking lot in the car at Starbucks. And I said, it was just funny. And I said, hey, I have an idea. I think we should do a podcast. I want to do one for a while. And you were like, yeah. And I was like, oh, sweet. And then all of a sudden it hit us. Well, what are we going to talk about? What's our topic going to be?
Yeah. Well, the other thing too, Dan, you know, we went through a lot of things that day. I think we were talking in the car, and that conversation kind of spurred the moment of like, we probably should be recording this, or yeah, you know, this would be a good conversation now. Just
one
because
of us said that. I can't remember who. Probably depends on when we tell the story.
It's probably me.
Like the origin story.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah.
Was it Jerry Siegel or Joe Shuster? I don't know.
That's right. That's good. It's the other thing too is that we kind of tried to settle on like a topic, and we were obviously a lot of fandoms out there, but we just kept settling back on Star Wars. And it really was just on the cusp of the announcement. And that kind of kicked things off a lot. You know, I think.
Was it before or after the announcement?
I think it was before we kind of had that. We were circling Star Wars a little bit more just because it was, you know, I think it was ripe for something to happen.
Yeah. We could probably figure that out looking through our calendars. But I do remember saying, why don't we just do it about Star Wars? And you said, are we going to have enough to talk about?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, we are. And heck, it's been 4 years and
yeah, here you are.
We run out of ideas, right? And we had, and then we got together another day. We did Michael's in Germantown Hills. I brought a notebook and we just had a meeting. Like we had our first little meeting and we just made this huge outline and we wrote down a bunch of topics. And I think we've hit most of those topics. There's been quite a few that we haven't touched, but they've kind of melded into multiple ideas. And we just ran with it. And then one of the most fun things is he and I basically taught each other through YouTube or asking Ed Dolezal from the IndyCast or Mike Pilot from Full of Sith. And they would give us tips constantly. In fact, I look at them quite often just to get ideas about things. And then tell Jason about our first actual experience recording.
It was the worst experience of my life.
Oh, really?
Oh, did I say out loud? Was I on this mic on? No, it was. So we sat in my office.
It was grueling. You should have worn deodorant.
It had to be shut. It. It was 4 hours of 20 minutes worth of material.
Dude, it was 18 hours.
It wasn't 18 hours.
Yes, it was. I got to your house about 4 o'clock.
Maybe.
And then I think I got home about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's not 18 hours.
Well, I'm an English teacher. Sure.
Yeah. There you go. Anyway.
It was a lot. It was a long time for 20 minutes.
We shared a mic, too.
Yes, we did. And that was one of the problems because his mic was picking up mine and vice versa, and we couldn't figure out how to make that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we had multi-directional mics, and we in our burgeoning idiocy, we didn't quite figure that out until it was too late. So we had to share one. And then we recorded it in stereo. So like when he talked, it was in the left speaker. When I talked, it was a right speaker. And if you listen to that first show, it still is like that. I don't know why I haven't fixed that, but I need to fix it.
Hey, don't fix it. Don't need a special edition. No thanks.
Yeah, the uncut version.
That's right.
So do you guys record together? Are you in the same room right now? Or do you do it separate now? I mean, is that old school way of being together.
No, honestly, if once I get this office finished, and we're getting close, actually, we're going to set it up where we can. But ever since our second episode, we've done this via Skype. He only lives less than 5 minutes from me, but we just do it via Skype. And I think it sounds really good. And he and I can text each other and give each other direction about where we want to do, who should ask the next question, what we're going to say, that kind of stuff. And it's gone pretty well, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And we always, kind of joke that I'm Coffee Kenobi West, you're Coffee Kenobi East,
That's right.
And it's just worked out this well so far, and we haven't changed at all. Matter of fact, just been doing over the years and learning the tricks of the trade. And, it seems like it's been forever. I mean, as far as just doing a podcast itself, and we have a lot of folks who write into us asking how we got started and wanting knowing tips and kind of inspiring them. I think that's the most fun part, I think, about podcasting itself, is inspiring other Star Wars fans to start their own Star Wars podcast and get in on the fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love your guys' format, and you could tell you guys are buds. And Dan, you give him Corey crap all the time. I know you guys are. It's like, I like these. I'll just like the banter between you two, even though it's about Star Wars.
Well, thank you.
You got to be able to listen to two people, for a half hour, 45 minutes. You got to be able to do that. I mean, it was easy with you guys. I was like, you guys are, it was a great show.
That's very kind of you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Truly.
Yeah. And the no spoilers, I love that, because I've almost went dark already.
Seriously.
On episode 8.
I know. I don't blame you.
I'm scared there's going to be a trailer, and I don't know if I can not watch it. It's
I will have to watch the trailer. But other than that, I don't know. I don't know.
Because I knew Ryan, they made a big announcement about being on a panel.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, are you guys going to Celebration?
Oh, heck yes.
Are you?
Are you?
I was wanting to. I don't think it's going to work out.
Oh, man. We'd love to shake your hand.
I know, that'd be cool to meet. Yeah, I could totally meet you guys. Just meet all these people. Yeah, that's another great thing about Star Wars. It's just.
Well, how close are you to Orlando? I mean, obviously, you have to tell your exact geographic location. All your fans will go chase you, but.
Yeah. it's about a 15-hour drive down.
Oh, that's to get down there.
I did that a couple of weeks ago. We drove to Florida, so it's no big deal. Drove tonight, just a couple Red Bulls or something like that, and you're good to go.
Yeah, that's some podcasts and some Red Bulls got me there before Disney World. Yeah, we went to Disney World last summer. And
cool. Did you tweet about that? I feel like I saw that.
Yeah, I tweeted something about you guys getting me down there.
I think remember that. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, no, we love Celebration. We're going to talk quite a bit about it later. And we've got a lot of plans for stuff. We know there's a lot of exciting things that are going to happen. And I mean, it's not official. We're not spoiler people, but it would almost be silly not to think there won't be a trailer for The Last Jedi there.
Oh, yeah. And I'll watch it. But yeah, they'll release something.
For sure.
Got to.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So. How many times do you guys have to watch a new Star Wars film in the theater before you feel satisfied that you can actually wait till it comes out on Blu-ray?
77 times. I think that's my number. Is that too high? No.
I think that's how many times you're supposed to forgive someone.
Oh, that's the thing. That's right. Forget that. It's interesting because as a fan and these things are coming out, it's become pretty expensive to go to the theater and see it multiple times. I remember seeing Force Awakens 4 times in the theater, and Rogue One, I saw that twice. Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah, twice.
I feel like that's
right. I saw it 3 times. Maybe I'm wrong.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's, how do you feel about going to have to see it? I mean, like, it's like a want, I guess. It's like, I want to go see it. Once I've seen it, I want to see it again. Absolutely. It's one of those things. I think it's, an experience and to be able to see it with other people, I think that's the most fun. Going obviously with your close group or your close friends or family, the first time around, or, your best buddy or something like that, and going to see it the first time around is fun. But then, taking, I don't remember if the Force Awakens, I was with my parents who just wanted to go because it's just an experience. I think to go see a Star Wars film in theaters, and that's why they wanted to go. I mean, they weren't like hardcore fans or anything, but it was fun to see it with them. Then the reverse kind of happened in seeing Rogue One. We had an extra ticket. My dad got to go, which was an incredible experience. It's so much fun to be able to do that with the loved ones in our lives. And I think that's when it's the best. And now how many times? I mean, I don't know if there's a specific number for me to be able to say, oh, that's it for me. I can go see it. Sometimes I'll sit around, for a couple weeks afterwards and go, man, I really wish I could skip work or, go out on a Saturday and go check it out again.
I'm pretty similar. When I first saw your question, because we chatted, of course, a little bit before we started the tape, I thought you meant before, like, you're satisfied with what you've seen and you've ingested. Because the first time I saw The Force Awakens, which is almost ad nauseum at this point, I loved it, but I had a hard time because I had known about the big reveal of Kylo Ren and Han Solo. And so that was, I had a hard time ingesting that because I was so frustrated that that was it not received the first time the way I wanted to on the big screen. So I watched, but I still loved it. And I saw it again right away and in Las Vegas, actually, with my wife. And it was great. It was great. And her, and that kind of hits on the head what Corey had addressed a few moments ago. For me, Star Wars is a community experience. And the more people in the theater, the better. And the people I'm seeing it with, I saw Rogue One for the second time with my father-in-law on Christmas Day in the evening. And just seeing it with them, and I saw it later with my mom and my brother. And that was just like our tradition. I mean, mom took us to the Star Wars movies when I was a little kid. And so now we take her. And I just think there's something beautiful about that. The synergy, the connectivity.
That's a good story.
Yeah, thank you. And so for me, it's just I don't have an actual time, but organically, I just sort of know. I saw The Force Awakens 7 times in the theater. And I realized for Brian Young, that's like a weekend. But for me, I don't want to see it. I don't know. Like, I saw Rogue One 3 times and I was satisfied. And it wasn't because I didn't love it. In fact, I think it's very powerful. And I was just thinking yesterday about how much I can't wait to see it again. So it just sort of depends. I mean, to put it in perspective, when the special editions came out in 97, I saw Star Wars and Empire 3 times each, even though I'd seen them both a million times. So I saw them both 3 times each in the theater. And then when Jedi came out, I just saw it once. And I was satisfied. And it wasn't because I didn't like Jedi as much, but I just, at that point, I felt like I was good. What about you?
Oh, yeah. I saw Force Awakens 4 or 5 times. And then I saw Rogue One, I believe, 4 times, maybe 5. But there were, I like the excitement of the pre-ordering on that date, and I'll usually get, and there's the midnight release thing almost isn't mid. It's a 7 o'clock on a Thursday evening now.
Yes.
Is when the movie actually comes out. So
thank goodness. I don't even know
if it, yeah. Oh yeah. Well, and that's, I show my daughter all the trailers and I'm like, do you want to go see this? And she'll be like, yes. So I'll get a ticket for her, and that 7 o'clock show, and she enjoys going and doing that. So it's a family thing for us too. But there are those rogue times where me and my significant other are going shopping or what have you, or out to dinner, and I'm like, hey, Rogue One's playing at this theater, and I order tickets on my phone, in the car, and then we're in there watching it. But she wanted this, she enjoyed seeing it too, but I like watching it from different aspects of the movies. Like, I'll watch all the action, and then I'll pay close attention to the dialogue, and the next time I'll pay close attention to something else. And Rogue One is so full of Easter eggs. Even after the fact, I saw it the fourth time or something on the internet, all the Easter eggs, all these things that come up because you like Star Wars, they're like every Easter egg in Rogue One. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to click on that, but I do, because did I miss something? And then I found out, I'm like, how did I miss that? And I almost want to go watch it just to see that on the big screen before, because I never saw the originals originally. I had to wait till the late 90s releases of the special editions, and then I went crazy there 4 or 5 times a piece.
I might say this too, you know, I've seen my favorite all-time favorite film is Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I've seen I can't even count the times I've seen that. And it was a few, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, it was out on IMAX, and I thought I got to see this in the theater because I never saw it when it came out in theaters. And I got to experience this. And that was a different kind of feeling too, because, you know, having only seen it on, you know, VHS back in the day or on TV or whatever, and, you know, seeing it in the theater, and, you know, I actually brought my kids with me because they'd never seen it. And just to have that experience in the theater, I think that's a big thing to do nowadays. I mean, it's almost like it's a vacation in a sense, you know, the essence of experiencing something we love. So I think in that way, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I don't think there has to be no set number means you like anything more than the other. It's just after you're pretty much full of it and can wait to watch in your living room. But so with Disney now having a few years under its belt, running everything, do you like the way the direction Lucasfilm is headed? And we just brought up, you guys just brought up Indiana Jones, and I believe they are going to do another one of those, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, do you guys like the way everything's going, the movie every year, the way the books and the comics have been with Star Wars?
I think it's almost perfect. I mean, honestly, and not a lot of things are perfect. Only one person. And I think it's been wonderful. I feel like it's revitalize the franchise in ways that we've honestly never seen throughout the history consistently of Star Wars in general. I think there's always stuff coming on. That's great. There's so many different avenues and ways to ingest it. More people are involved. I don't know. Maybe it's just a product of the times, but I feel like more people, like I'll put it this way. I don't think I would have gotten a chance to write for stars.com if Disney didn't own it. Cause I feel like they just sort of opened doors a little bit more than how it was originally. And I have nothing to officially prove that, but it's just sort of a feeling I get. And I just feel like there's so much care and passion and it's not all sugar and spice. They want to make money and they're doing a great job of doing that. As far as the movies coming out every year, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if I had to wait. If there was like an off year or two for Star Wars movies, I would be more than fine with that. I mean, sure, it would be rough the off years, but I like the wait. I think that encourages and promotes quality and enthusiasm for a product instead of just kind of going like cattle. Do you know what I mean? And I don't mean that as a pejorative. Yeah. I mean more like,
yeah, I agree with
there's
you.
Just more excitement to that. You know, when Guardians of the Galaxy, there's Marvel movies every year, but the fact that you have to wait years between Guardians of the Galaxy movies just makes it more fun and more fresh. I mean, look how we're drinking in these little commercials and trailers or seeing Chris Pratt and Robert Downey Jr. in that little Avengers Infinity War thing that came out recently online. It just creates more buzz. That being said, until there is a misstep, I'm not going to wait for one to happen because I just feel like they really get the best of the best of the best to do these things and to work on these things. And there's so much love and care, and not just because of money, but because they love what they're doing. They love contributing to this texture.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I will say when it was first kind of taken on, I didn't have any expectations. I didn't know. I mean, I knew they handled the Marvel movies really well. So we knew they could kind of hold their own as far as, you know, taking on big franchises. And like I said, Marvel's done a great job of building a large universe in itself by small movies, kind of like Ant-Man to, you know, like you said, larger movies like Avengers Civil War or something like that, or Captain America Civil War. And they build these characters, I think. They build, we get to liking a certain character to this franchise and looking back and saying, oh, he's going to be in that film because, you know, he's a tie to that character or a cameo or something like that. And that's, I think, what they're trying to do with Star Wars is build off what already is ingrained in these characters we love so much. We definitely see, like, I think Rogue One was the biggest, you know, risk, I guess, in the essence of, like, you know, offshooting a Star Wars film. It seems almost like, why would you're crazy to do that? But they did it, and they did it so well. I mean, I think it was, it shows so much of how much, like you said, Dan, they care about these characters and care about this franchise, because they're showing us they can tell stories in and out of the Star Wars franchise, upside down, right side up, and still beholden to, you know, keeping these characters fresh, original, and you know, merchandising comes along with it as well. Though I think they handle it really well. They do overdo it, but I think that's what they do. They try to hit every generation of fan they can with something that they're interested in, so they can get maximized the most they can out of each of these releases. And as far as coming out, you know, once a year, it's funny because a couple guys at work and I were talking about Rogue One recently. And they're like, oh yeah, the next movie Star Wars movie comes out in a few months, six, seven, 8 months. And I was like, oh yeah, that's kind of right. It's weird to think that, like, you know, just a few months will go by and here we are at another Star Wars movie. And is that jarring? Like I said, I think a little bit, you know, but has it hurt my fandom with like other franchises such as Marvel? I don't think so. I mean, I've enjoyed the stories because they're a little bit different, each of them, and they're stretching the Skywalker stories out just a little further so we can kind of get a taste of things in between. So, I mean, like I said, Dan, they're not necessarily had a misstep yet. I don't want them to, but, you know, I'd say keep on rolling the money train.
I still think, though, regardless of the anticipation of Episode 7 versus Rogue One, I still think that as much as I loved Rogue One, loved it, and the whole experience and everything that we did to promote it and all the fun we had, I still think sitting in the theater when it was about to start, even though I had an intense adrenaline, it was nothing like The Force Awakens. And part of that was just waiting to see Han, you know, Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill again on screen.
Sure.
But knowing that I had just been in the theater to see one, you know, 9-10 months ago, because Force Awakens was in theaters for a while.
Sure.
It still wasn't quite the same. Does that make sense?
Well, there was no investment. Yeah. I mean, like, I think too, it's like we were waiting for Force Awakens for, you know, almost 30 years or so just to get, you know, if, you know, fandom wise, as far as like getting to know the next chapter. And that was we're, you know, whetting our appetite with all these like little previews. All of a sudden, you know, Rogue One comes around. It's like, we don't know these characters. We don't necessarily know what's kind of going on, but, you know, we'll give it a shot. You know, it'll be fun. You know, the Star Wars. And lo and behold, they did a good job. I'm excited for the next one.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. Both points. It was Episode 7, and that was what they announced. It was in 2012 when Disney purchased.
Yeah.
So we were foaming at the mouth already, and then they announced, hey, there's going to be a new trilogy. So there was 3 years of buildup there automatically on top of waiting, you know, and people, the prequels, you know, after Revenge of the Sith and all that, just waiting on to see if, you know, there's always that that urban legend of, well, you know, if it was true or not, but that Lucas had, you know, the set of 9 movies and he plucked out, you know, to start that original trilogy. So there was always this lore of fandom or geeks or whatever you want to call it, that, you know, there was 3 more movies to be made. And then they announced that. That was just huge to me to hear that. And not to, it's like Corey was saying, not Rogue One was awesome in and of itself, but the build up for 7 and then 8, I mean, it's Luke Skywalker. That is my ultimate, you know, he is the guy. He had no training. He had the roughest road, you know. He just flew by the seat of his pants, you know, and he is where he is now. I mean, that story is just awesome to me of Luke Skywalker. And I can't wait to see 8.
And isn't it crazy to know that there's more Luke Skywalker coming with Mark Hamill?
Yeah.
And with Luke at his prime, it's insane.
That's – well, and that goes back to when I read Legends, I liked when Luke was around this age, I believe, 30 years after Endor, those books where he was so powerful but as smart as Yoda, they made him – I mean, you know, in some of whatever books where you read or whatever – but I just liked, I want to see what they do with him, how powerful he is and how he handles being that powerful with, you know, nobody else to help him, just to see how this character turns out. I just can't wait to see what happens to him. You know, he was on a moisture farm, and then, you know, he was destroying the Death Star right at the same end of the movie. You know, it's just crazy. This kid, I mean, I love the story of him.
It's a, he it's amazing. It really is inspiring. I mean, all the things he accomplishes, I can barely make my bed every day. That's actually not true.
That's good.
But yeah, it's yeah. It's pretty.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
It's inspiring. It's just inspiring to know you can come from very, very humble, inauspicious beginnings to become the most significant person, you know, to a great many people. It's kind of like the journey to become a husband and a father, really, in a way.
Trials and learning on your own. Yeah, that's
right. And learning to.
And you may have some guidance here and there, but they're not. It's not always there. So
that's right. And you have to learn to defend for yourself for the greater good. Is there anything else, Jason? Wait, before you go, obviously we have to ask you the five questions that we ask every guest on Coffee with Kenobi. But what else? I mean, this is still your show, of course. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up before our coffee runs out?
Have either of you seen a 70mm film?
I haven't. I've always wanted to, but I never have.
Yeah,
I never have either.
Have
you seen it? Oh, you haven't. The State Museum near where I'm at has that capability, and I always miss out on it. They had, you know, a lot of not just Star Wars films, but a lot of Nolan films will be in 70mm, and I still haven't. I was just wondering if you guys had ever seen any and experienced that.
There's none where in the vicinity where we live. We'd have to go to Chicago, which is a little over 2 hours away, which we would definitely do. But I mean, it's never happened. It's always been on sort of my my cinephile bucket list.
Yeah. I'm lucky enough, it's Indianapolis and isn't too far from me, and they have one there in the State Museum.
That's cool. We were at Indianapolis a few years ago for Indiana Comic Con.
Yeah, you guys saw a lot. Well, I was at that very convention. I think I tweeted that to you guys.
That's right.
Yeah, Leia was. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Did you get to talk to Carrie Fisher?
No, we didn't. No.
In the school newspaper, the school where I work, they did a little thing about Carrie Fisher, and they put the picture in the school paper of Corey and I with Carrie Fisher, and then they really got a lot of conversation going because I think she really impacted a lot of people, obviously.
That was pretty devastating, but...
It was. I do want to say I want to give a shout to the most recent Lattes with Leia. They did a wonderful job, Amy and Drea did, and they talked for a while about what it means to be bipolar. And it was very educated and very loving and very, very honest and intelligent. And we've gotten a lot of good feedback about the job that it is. So I really want to thank them for what they did, because I think it's important. I think Carrie Fisher would appreciate educating that mental illness is a real thing. It's something to take seriously.
Well, so Dan, we'll go ahead and jump in our five questions here. I'll start with the first one.
Sure.
Jason, what's your favorite Star Wars movie?
It would have to be Empire Strikes Back.
Who or what is your favorite character?
That Luke Skywalker takes the cake.
What is your favorite line of dialogue or film moment?
It'd be a moment, and it's Yoda testing Luke on Dagobah, and then the revelation where Luke realizes who he's been talking to and who he has no patience at all with. And then how that kind of, I love that whole where he lands, he meets him, and the whole scene in the hut. I mean, that's great to me.
That's, no one has ever said that. That makes me very happy. That's awesome. A wonderful moment. And it's sort of unexpected because it's just a lot of things for a lot of reasons. And I remember when I was thinking, this guy's Yoda, but he's
exactly. There's a lot in that, wasn't there? Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he got real serious. I'm like, well, this is like a different person. And of course now Yoda's, if he's not my favorite character, he's my second favorite. That's cool. So if you collect, what is your favorite Star Wars collectible that you own?
I have a few things. I don't collect too much, but if I find something in a sale aisle and I've got it, I used to have a Beckett, or, you know, like a toy guide on me, and would check. And sometimes they'd have things marked down so much, I'd pick them up if it was worth it. And I found it was a Cantina band in a tin, and it's got artwork on it, on the tin, and it's probably my favorite piece.
That's awesome.
That's really cool. Yeah. It's always interesting to see somebody's, you know, collectible that they had that just was unique to them. I always like hearing that question. So that's great. What particular messages or themes about Star Wars resonate or speak to you?
I love the story. I mean, I love Luke Skywalker's story, and like we were talking about earlier, I guess, where no matter where you came from or what, you know, your beginnings were, that doesn't define you, and there's always room for change or to do good. It seems like in Star Wars, redemption can always come at any point. And it's just a good story. I think it's, you know, good message, good story in there.
That's about as good a place to wrap up as we could have. And it's really, Jason, honestly, it's really been an absolute pleasure, not only getting to know you through email and through this experience, but getting a chance to have a cup of coffee with you and talk about, it's just so cool. I know, I'm sure I speak for Corey, and I say, it's just so wonderful to talk to Star Wars fans and just get their perspective and show, you know, I think sometimes there's sort of a bit of a stereotype that some Star Wars fans don't get along, and there's a lot of, you know, rivalry or just sort of
animosity. You
know, yeah. Animosity, but I would say 99.9% of the time, all I run into is warm, happy, cool people who like talking about Star Wars. So I appreciate getting this moment to chat with you, Jason.
Yeah, I really appreciate Dan and Corey for giving me the chance, and just a great podcast and a great couple of guys. And I'm humbled to be on here, and I appreciate it.
You're very kind. I hope that not necessarily this celebration, although that would be obviously ideal. We hope someday to cross your path and get a real cup of coffee with you.
Yeah, that'd be great. I may wing it on celebration. You never know. I don't know.
Well,
if you see some weird guy with an orange shirt on, like, hey, Dan, Corey, that's probably me.
Awesome.
Well, that would be great. That'd be great. And
don't call security.
No.
We won't. And for all of you listening now, if you're thinking, "What? This was awesome. I would love to get a chance to do something like this." Well, it's very, very possible. You just go on to our main page, coffeewithkenobi.com, and click on our Patreon button located at the top left and contribute however you want to, wherever you see fit. And you're entered into a drawing really twice a year, but every month that you contribute, you get a certain amount of tickets, for lack of a better word, put into the proverbial hat. And then we draw, and whoever draws, they get to run the show. And you saw Jason has obviously just set the bar very, very high. But you know what kind of show you can have with the Coffee with Kenobi and Patreon. So definitely feel free to check that out. And a lot of other perks that go into it besides the show, like mugs and T-shirts. And we mention you on each show. And there's a lot of other things that we're sort of experimenting with, too, including our exclusive show that we do once a month. And actually, our last one, where we kind of got a little more other things we don't like as much about Star Wars, which we don't often get into.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
We had fun with that. And Jason,
that was a great. I liked that. Yeah, that was good.
That was cool. What would you suggest? Like, what was the formula for that you think works so well?
Well, you guys, I like the what you didn't like, and you guys were bringing up points about, you know, it's easy to talk about things that we like about Star Wars or other things, but when you guys got into what you didn't like and then explaining that, I mean, I agreed with you on some thing, you know, some people probably like, yeah, that's a good point. And they feel the same, you know, I like that.
That's awesome. Well, Jason, obviously after this, especially people are going to want to reach out to you if they want to ask you a question, just say hello. Where can people get in touch with you?
I'm on Twitter it's at Jason Hall 1138. And that's the easiest way to just say something or drop a line.
For sure. And we will definitely put that in the show notes. Jason, definitely good to chat with you. Hopefully we'll have you on again sometime in the future, because this was great. This was great fun. You obviously know your Star Wars and good guy. And we appreciate all you do for our show and for spreading the positivity of what it means to be a positive member of the Star Wars fan community. So thank you, sir.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it. always will. Hey, this has been great. And I was nervous coming in, but you guys made it easy. It was, once we got talking, it was, I loved it. It's a great show.
Chewy, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed @coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torok.
Give the evacuation code signal.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here.